along. Let's go to Roger. I'm going to give a real brief introduction. He's been has a lot going on in his life. Roger is a doctor of Oriental medicine since 1977. He's a co-founder of the National Qigong Association. He began training teachers in mind-body practices of Qigong and Tai Chi since 1997. He's been a consultant, a healthcare consultant, and an integrative medicine to hospitals, healthcare organizations, agencies, government since 1982. He's the author of The Healer Within and The Healing Promise of Qi, and he has a DVD on Qigong. He also teaches Tai Chi Easy. He has many levels of teaching people these mind-body practices. He ran and operated a clinic for 12 years called Health Action, an integrative healthcare clinic. He also is the co-creator of the Circle of Life Mind-Body Health and Wellness Coaching System. So welcome, Roger.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Roger,
I was just going to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
And then you could lead us in some practices.
That'll be fun.
So, first of all, would you just give us a little, just a brief history of mind-body practices?
Yeah, and let me do that in a context that has some sort of contemporary feel to it, because the healthcare system that we're in today is based on all sorts of unusual assumptions, including things like, if I get sick, I have to go to a doctor, or even worse, I don't know how to prevent disease in my life because I'm not a doctor, as if doctors know anything about prevention. And, of course, there are more physicians all the time who are oriented to prevention, and that's why we are experiencing a revolution in wellness coaching and mind-body practice. So the roots of all of this go back into such ancient times that we don't even know, scholars don't even know where the concept comes from of using a coordination between the mind and the body to purposefully enhance function. And in the Hindu, in India, the Hindu tradition before written history speaks to these things. We know because when the Hindus started writing, they were writing eloquently about the interaction of the mind and the body. And in China, the Taoists were the original philosophers of these things. And before writing, they were speaking of these things to the extent that when writing happened, the conversation was quite eloquent as well. So we know that the roots of mind-body practice, which has such an incredible opportunity to be a part of the complementary medicine scene in modern times, is so ancient that nobody even knows when it got started. We talk about shamans, we talk about masters, we talk about wizards in ancient times, and it looks like what these shamans, masters, and wizards were doing was simply understanding themselves very, very deeply. And, of course, if we look at modern time, one of the things that we don't do very well is understand ourselves very deeply. That's what coaching is all about. And one of the most powerful tools that you will ever use as a coach in your work, this is my bias, and obviously I'm quite biased, is the utilization of mind-body practice to help people to get control, or maybe that's not the way to say it, to assist people in becoming more purposeful in selecting what happens next. And as you know, a lot of times what people are doing is operating out of habit. And so the process of becoming more intentful, power word intent, and more purposeful, power word purpose, is to get control or to gain access to a higher level of interaction with one's mind, if you want to call it that, consciousness, awareness, etc. So mind-body practice is a huge power tool for leveraging all of this. And actually, it's interesting because when we talk about the history of mind-body practice, we can talk about the ancient Hindus, we can talk about the ancient Taoists in China and India. We can also reflect on the shamanic traditions, Native Americans, Africans, etc. As we wind this into present time, the two most important things to point to in terms of the history are the definition of the stress response, which was defined by a physician named Hans Selye back in the early 20th century, and then later the definition of the relaxation response, defined primarily by Herbert Benson at Harvard University in the 60s and 70s. And then I think the third most important thing to point to in the history of the development of mind-body practice in the Western world would be the work of Candace Pert, who wrote the book called Molecules of Emotion, and her work with the discovery, literally the discovery, of neurotransmitters in the 80s and the 90s, and continuing till today. We're going to learn a breath practice here in a little while called the paced breathing. We also call it the breath of peace. You could also call it breath of power. And paced breathing, it turns out, releases a neurotransmitter, which is so new in the literature that I don't even have it in my mind. You can feel it working. It's amazing. It's like a drug that we produce within the body. The body has a pharmacy. We'll talk about that in a little while. So that's the history. And Rebecca, shall I go on and say a little something about
this? I'd like to know how you used it clinically, because you're used to do acupuncture and you ran a clinic with, you know, physical therapists and counselors and massage people and coaches. And how did you use it? And what are the trends that you're seeing, how mind-body practices are being used in, you know, clinics and the Air Force cancer centers?
Sure, of course. Yes. My training as a doctor of Chinese medicine includes acupuncture, herbs, physical therapy, as in massage and bone setting, like as in osteopathic medicine and so forth, nourishment, so that's the nutrition side, and then mind-body practice, which is called Qigong in China, called yoga in India. And the word Tai Chi has become sort of parallel to all of this. Tai Chi was originally a concept about the nature of the universe, actually, but then it was taken up as a description for a certain kind of kung fu. And so clinically, we diagnose the person, give the acupuncture treatments, the herbal formulas, massage, refer to massage practice, or however that might go. But then over time, in my own development of my own clinical practice, as Rebecca mentioned earlier, we worked with a comprehensive healthcare clinic, or you could call it a holistic clinic, or you could call it an integrative medicine clinic. And there, the Chinese medicine was in a direct association with two things, coaching and mind-body practice. And over time, I was hired by many, many hospitals, agencies, institutions, even communities like cities, metropolitan areas, that would hire me as an individual to help them, as a consultant, to help them design a wellness program or a complementary medicine program. And it was an amazing experience because there are so many political forces that come to bear on the development of new healthcare activities, because people who are in the business like to keep it the way it is. And so somebody would say, well, let's have a complementary or integrative medicine department. And I would go, and they would hire me, and we would do all the meetings and so forth. And when you got everything said and done, the thing that they were willing to do, not acupuncture, not in some cases massage, definitely not any kind of provocative clinical treatments like homeopathic medicine or herbal medicine, all of which are typically pretty harmless, primarily because they're treatments. And what all these programs arrived at as a conclusion, and this is still going on, although there's more therapeutics like acupuncture in hospitals these days than any time in history before, the thing that they wanted the most was two things. One, life planning, call that coaching. They also called that health skills development or healthy lifestyle skills development, all coaching. And then the other thing was mind-body practice. So it didn't matter what they really wanted in the beginning. In the end, the thing that they felt they could afford, that they felt they could tolerate politically and policy-wise, and that they felt like that they could bring the public relations and collaboration of all the parties who were involved in the entity to bear on, was these wellness programs, coaching and mind-body practice. So over the years, we have trained people in both mind-body practice and coaching at the Mayo Clinic, the Air Force, numerous cancer centers, and we've had opportunities to work with corporations. One of the largest, most popular women's apparel manufacturers, Eileen Fisher, was one of our clients for many years and taught mind-body practice in the factory, in the office, everywhere. So the movement towards mind-body practice is so immense that the NIH actually was considering doing an annual event called Mind-Body Week. It turned out that the public interest in this was so intense that they actually backed off of it because the NIH is actually a research agency, not a training agency. And so it was kind of disappointing to see that happen. But the most important thing to notice is that the NIH was actually considering this, interested in this, and so forth. Now, the people that we see being trained, and as you can tell, I'm putting coaching and mind-body practice together. And if you have an opportunity to look at the Circle of Life, which is a coaching a tool set for coaches, you'll see that self-care and mind-body practice are at the very center of everything. And in anybody's coaching practice, you can do that. You can watch for opportunities moment to moment to be able to move things along and empower the client using mind-body practice. And what I'm seeing, because we have two training institutions, one is a coach training institution and one is a mind-body practice leader or teacher or consultant type institution for training. What we're seeing in both of those training programs is people from everywhere. So they're showing up from, for instance, let's just take the Mayo Clinic. The Mayo Clinic has basically embraced Qigong and Tai Chi and mindfulness, meditation, and et cetera, so thoroughly that their last supplement for their newsletter to the public was literally entitled Tai Chi and Yoga. And it was an 8-page document on this. Amazing. And so this is going into mainstream health organizations. We've trained counselors for public service in Nebraska. You'd think, well, how about California and New York and Washington, D.C.? Well, yeah, of course, we've done those trainings there as well. But think of it, Nebraska and Arkansas, two states that mostly you would say, you know, these kinds of things don't happen there. And those agencies, those regional health agencies, were very excited about getting involved in mind-body practice under the auspices of what we call Tai Chi Easy. And we can probably explain a little bit more about that. So the trends are that coaching and mind-body practice, or if you want, coaching and mind-body practice as one thing together, as a collaborative or complementary or integrated process, is probably on the top of the list. It can be done, mind-body practice can be done in groups. Mind-body practice can be taught by phone. We're going to do that today. Mind-body practice requires a whole lot less budget than all of these other complementary medicine ideas, including acupuncture and massage clinics and so forth. So you are, as the listeners to this call, you guys are right at the cutting edge of what could be one of the most amazing and remarkable historic events in the beginning of the 21st century, and that is the realization that the human body can heal itself when the person who owns that body has the knowledge to be able to, through the coaching, make a plan and pursue it, and through the mind-body practice, power up and calm down. What do you think? Should I go on, or do you want
to? Yeah, that's it's very exciting because WELL Coaches trains people in just, you know, excellent coaching skills, and now these coaches are having this opportunity to learn some of these practices that can really enhance what they're doing and also make them more credible, more effective, more marketable, and get better results. So I'm just really excited we're doing this and that WELL Coaches has put this on. So would you speak to the physiology of power up and calm down?
Sure, absolutely. And this is so amazing. It turns out that the human body produces medicines or molecular combinations, I guess you could call it, but we would call it medicines. I love the word elixirs that are so powerful that they keep us well throughout our whole lives. So think to yourself, how long was I well and how was that possible? And the answer is you were well for as long as you were well because the body, the human system, when allowed to do what it does the best with no restraint, will continue to heal itself and regenerate itself and prevent disease. Natural disease prevention is possible because the mechanisms for making medicine within the human system is not only there, those mechanisms are not only present within us, but we can turn them on in a matter of moments. It's just amazing. Of course, we're going to do that here in a few minutes. So why? What is it that's going on here? Of course, the Chinese would say that it's associated with the qi, you know, the life force, this energetic feature of the human system that is prevalent not only within the human system, but also in nature and even throughout the universe. So if you talk to the great master thinkers from all time, they will tell you that there's something in the universe that is everywhere. And the Chinese call that qi. And it's a little, because we're not Chinese people and we don't have Chinese grandparents and we're not involved in Chinese culture, it's probably not the most interesting direction for us to go, particularly in terms of describing the functions of mind-body practice to our clients. So let's go with the common knowledge. And by the way, I do workshops all over the United States, and I would be thrilled to see you at some point. You know, and we can go into the qi side of this and have a whole lot of fun with it. What makes this all so relevant in our own culture is that the functions for natural self-regeneration, which exist in the body because they were born in, are there. They're waiting for us to use them and use them wisely. And for whatever reason we do or don't, they're there. And as time passes, if we don't understand how to use the natural mechanism for self-healing, you know, it's a use it or lose it kind of thing, particularly if you get engaged in gaining weight, becoming depressed, and many of the other things that are so common, not being able to sleep, being anxious, having bowel function challenges or digestive function challenges, aches and pains that cause us to feel less able to do what it is we think we could do or should do. Big word there, should. Coaching, you know, we don't use that word should in coaching, but people live a should-based life. And so it's a kind of miracle that the solution isn't somewhere else. It's not in a hospital. It's not at the doctor's office. It's not at the drugstore. It's literally in the human body. And when you turn this medicine on, it goes for free. The people that you work with may be paying for your coaching session, but once they get it, it's theirs for the entire rest of their lifetime to be called upon and utilized anytime, any day. Even in the busy craziness of life, as you know as a coach, it's important to interrupt habitual process and put more reasonable process into play. And mind-body practice is an awesome leverage. So let me just tell you a little bit about the physiology. First and foremost is the comparison between the stress function and the relaxation function. The stress function happens naturally through the what we call the go side of the autonomic nervous system. The go side of the autonomic nervous system is called the sympathetic nervous system. And in contrary to that, the relaxation response is activating the slow down side, the rest side, which is called the parasympathetic. The sympathetic triggers the release of adrenaline and adrenaline-based neurotransmitters. Now, if you could just write that down, adrenaline-based neurotransmitters, that's like a $10, $20 word right there. And if you want to impress people with your massive amounts of knowledge, you can say adrenaline-based neurotransmitters when you're reflecting on the hysteria, the stress, the sleeplessness, the anxiety, the tense muscles throughout the body, the distraction from the present moment, and so forth. Then the other side, the parasympathetic side, which is the healing side, the self-recovery side, the renewal side, the rehabilitation side, the baseline molecule that's associated with those neurotransmitters is called choline. And many of you have heard of choline. Choline-based neurotransmitters. So there's your second $20 word. Means those neurotransmitters which help the body to recover its natural balance, its natural stability, its natural well-being. And the balanced relationship between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic is called homeostasis. Now, homeostasis in Chinese medicine is literally mapped with the Tai Chi symbol. The Tai Chi symbol is the yin-yang circle with the white and the black in it. The white is associated with the sympathetic side, which is the go side. The black is associated with the parasympathetic side, which is the rest side. So even at the level of neurological physiology, there's a direct association with the wisdom of the ancients through the Chinese Qigong and Tai Chi and meditation and so forth. So what happens when we shift out, because we've decided to shift out of the sympathetic side into the parasympathetic side, is that there's a whole bunch of things, and I'll just tell you three or four of them. One is that the neurotransmitters that are necessary to turn on the immune system are turned on. So the immune system operates most effectively with the presence of choline-based neurotransmitters, which are associated with parasympathetic function. And, of course, this is anti-anxiety, anti-stress, anti-insomnia, anti-hysteria, and anti-distraction. These are all everything that you do on the parasympathetic side is going to calm down one's natural function and put restoration and recovery and renewal and healing into play. So the immune system is big, of course, and in keeping us well. And so the first portion or first aspect of the natural medicine that's produced in the human body is the choline-based neurotransmitters, which turn on the immune system. The second thing that happens in the presence of choline-based neurotransmitters is that your blood vessels get larger. Now, think of it this way. If you had high blood pressure, what do you need to do? Well, lower it. How can you lower pressure within a system? Well, you make the system itself larger. Therefore, anything that's in the system, in this case the blood, is under less pressure. And we're going to learn a breath practice here in a few minutes that is very, very widely revered in the area of reducing blood pressure, along with a bunch of other things. So just get excited about that, and we'll go on to it in just a minute. Why enlarging the blood vessel has additional benefits besides lowering blood pressure is, think of it this way, the capillaries, which are everywhere, in your eyeball, in your liver, in your brain, if they get larger, what happens? Well, there's more blood present. Not only is there more blood present, but what's in the blood is more present, and that's oxygen and nutrition. And not only is there more blood present and more oxygen and nutrition present, but the surface area, just think of it, if a blood vessel expands, what happens? It gets larger in circumference, and the amount of exposure to the tissues is bigger. A tiny little blood vessel, like a little tiny straw, let's say, has only got that circumference of tissue exposing the blood. So it's a lesser amount of blood, a lesser amount of resources, and a lesser amount of exposed area. If you expand that to the size of a very large drain pipe, let's say, for the gutters in your house or something like that, notice how much larger the external surface is. So you've got more blood there carrying more nutrition and oxygen, and in addition, most importantly, the exposure to the tissues is greater. So if the tissues are saying, give me oxygen and give me nutrition, there's a higher chance that that oxygen and nutrition can be delivered by a large vessel, which is where the oxygen and nutrition is penetrating into the tissue, rather than a small vessel. So that's huge, because nourishment and oxygen are, that is like the medicine. So now you've got immune system, that's a part of the medicine. You've got nourishment and oxygen. Those are big, big players in recovery. Then the next one is that when you take a deep breath, when you do mind-body practice to relax, so in other words, you're using deeper breathing to cause the relaxation response to kick in, you're also pumping the lymphatic system. So the lymphatic system does not have a heart in the standard sense. It has a composite heart. And it's squeezing your muscles, being in a relaxed state, taking a deep breath, and a few other things cause the propulsion of the lymphatics. And the lymphatic fluid is the baseline, the bottom line of the elimination system. So think of it, if you had cancer and you were breaking down the tumor, visualizations or the combination of both, or having herbal formulas, or or big radical shifts in diet or whatever it is that is happening to break down that tumor, where are the components of that broken down cancer going to go, and how is the body going to keep that from contaminating the rest of the body with cancer? And the answer is the immune cells are going to gobble it up like big garbage trucks and kill it, and then that's going to explode, and that's all going to be absorbed in the lymphatic fluids and then pumped out of the body. And how that pumping happens is through contraction and release of the muscles, being in a deeply relaxed state, and pumping the organs below the diaphragm with huge breaths. So take a deep breath now and notice that your diaphragm drops down and it's compressing all those organs. And all those organs are full of lymph that's been collected from all throughout the body. And that compression is causing the lymph to shoot ahead in the lymphatic system. It's a beautiful, 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 eloquent, totally empowered, personally empowered system. Hardly anybody knows this. It's amazing. It's like some sort of a top secret. Because if people knew that they could heal themselves for free by just taking deep breaths and getting into the relaxed state, you know, why would we need to spend $3 trillion on treating preventable diseases? It collapses the system. So we don't want to do it too soon, I suppose, obviously, due to the debate in Washington and so forth about healthcare that's been going on forever. But there's no reason why an average person should not accelerate, enhance the function of their own natural capacity for healing, because it's so easy and it doesn't cost anything. Now, there are subtle additional aspects of the physiology which we could go to, but I'm thinking that for time, and that's got to be plenty.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. Just if you could, just a one or two lines on the Herbert Benson study of the genes or Bruce Lipton's work, just a note,
and we'll finish
with the practices and questions and answers.
Yes, this is totally 21st century now. It turns out, you know, we've been doing the genome for quite a while, and there's a lot of excitement about the genes and their function. It turns out, however, that there's a modifying factor, and that is it depends on how well the genes are instructed and how well the genes are nourished. Now, Bruce Lipton is a kind of a breakout neurophysiologist who has really done a lot of amazing work. So if you have an opportunity to listen to any of his interviews, do so. I would say, you know, you could find that on the web fairly easily. And his concept, which is not a New Age idea from California, which is based on faith and altered thinking, it's actually a physiological, an array of new understandings in the physiology of function, is that the cells, that the genetic material has two components, there's many, many components, but the two key components are what is the DNA itself, and the other component is how is the DNA being instructed in terms of the milieu in which it's operating. So as you can imagine, 70% water inside the body, it's like soup. So if that soup is really foul, there's some problems with genetic capacity for the genes to, what is called for the genes to express. And gene expression has to do with a lot of interesting things. The most important one that you'll recognize right away is cell death, the rate of cell death. And another one is the efficiency of the cells in reproducing. So imagine as a cell approaches cell death, instead of being able to reproduce, it's just going to die. And eventually, the person dies. So if there is a way to be able to shift the system so that the rate of cell death is less aggressive or less accelerated, then the pace of cell death will slow down, and the natural capacity for the genes to support, to participate, sorry, in cell proliferation, the dividing of the cells, the dividing of the DNA, and the dividing of the cell will also be enhanced. So that's fairly new information. We knew in the 20th century, we knew that the genes were important. In the 21st century, we're becoming very aware of the fact that the genes are important, particularly in how well they can function relative to the environment that they're in. And this environment is called gene expression. And Herbert Benson and a team of people from Harvard began some work a while back, and it has been recently published in 2007, 2008. And basically what they found was that those practices, those health-inducing practices, which are based on the relaxation response, which is the physiology that we just discussed, the whole concept of lowering the blood pressure, enhancing the immune capacity, shifting the parasympathetic, the sympathetic to the parasympathetic, accelerating the pace of the lymphatic system's capacity to carry toxic materials out of the tissue spaces, and more. All of those practices have now become titled, I guess you would call it, mind-body practices. Includes meditation, breath practice, yoga, Tai Chi and Qigong, anything that coordinates the mental function in a way that it's saying, you know, and now I'm going to slow my breathing down, now I'm going to move my body in a very intentful way, now I'm not going to worry about the things that I worry about all the time, now I'm just going to focus on the present moment, etc. Anything that does that kind of is that kind of a practice, they put to the test and found that these practices change gene expression, and the primary baseline of what it is that's changing, there's three things. One is the capacity for the cell to continue to divide in a healthy way. The second one, which is related to that, is the decrease of the pace of cell death. And as you can imagine, if you could decrease the pace of cell death starting at, let's say, around the age of 15 and do a really good job of it, is it possible that the body would continue to function, you know, much more well and much more enduringly? And the answer is, we can speculate, is yes. The third thing that happens is that there's a factor inside of the gene complex, which is called telomere, T-E-L-E-M-E-R-E. Telomeres shrink over time. Now, it used to be believed that the telomere was the clock in the body, meaning that as soon as the clock ticked, the number of times that it had the capacity to tick, it would stop ticking. And when the telomeres would shrink, it's kind of like the spring in the clock unwinding and losing its torque, or whatever you would call it. And it used to be believed that the only direction that the telomeres would go is to getting smaller, shrinking, becoming less functional, and finally dying. Well, it turns out that with this work that was been done by Benson and now others, it's a lot of people jumping on, is that the telomeres, not only can you stop the telomeres from shrinking, you can actually get them to turn around and get larger. So it's kind of like if you said to yourself, I'm so tired, I need a nap, I'm shrinking, I don't have time for a nap, I'm going to drink some coffee, and then later I'm going to get so tired that I'm shrinking, but I'd rather watch some TV, stimulate myself with some bad news and some violence, and now I'm getting tired and I'm shrinking. And so it's just shrinking happening, and everything that's put into place to make the person feel like they have vitality are these, either drugs or foods or weird habits. And then contrast that with a telomere that says, I'm tired, I'm shrinking, I'm going to take a nap. Now, later, I worked hard, I'm feeling fatigued, I think I'm going to go to bed a little earlier for a couple of days. And then later I say, I think it would be better for me if I would take a couple of times during the day and meditate for 10 minutes. If that's all expanding the telomeres, and it's literally turning one's life around. And it's like longevity medicine. It's like immortality. You know, people say, well, I want to live forever. Well, who would ever want to live in the body they have today? But wouldn't you like to live in the body that you have today as well as you can for as long as you can, whether it's to get more money, have more fun, or be more wise, to actually have enough wisdom to conclude your life in a way that's more purposeful? So, the last thing on that is that I went to the Medline, which is the huge repository of research, and it's the National Library of Medicine, and I put into the search box Qi Gong and gene expression, thinking that Benson's article would probably be the only thing out there on it. And it turns out that there's two articles on the specific mind-body practices that I'm very, very oriented to that have already been written. So this gene expression thing is going to be huge. It's at the baseline of all physiology, right? I mean, if you think of it, okay, cell death, slowing down the rate of cell death. Well, what about how alive are my immune cells? They're cells too. How alive are my brain cells? They're all cells. If I slow down the rate of cell death throughout my whole being, what will the consequences be? We don't even know. It's breakthrough. It's the cutting edge. It's the cool, new, absolutely amazing thing that's happening in the 21st century. And, just to add, you're a part of it. You're going to be coaching people, if you haven't already, in these amazing things.
Well, thank you, Roger. That's extremely exciting, the potential we have to really, really change our lives. We're not destined to these just genetic codes. We can actually change on that level. And so with that, let's go into doing it right now. So if we could start with the three mindful alignments, which often Roger may say the three intentful corrections is another name we use for it. But it's the sheet that has the blue, kind of the teal colors with the big arrow on top. Again, you may have that. I sent that last night. Or you can just listen and you can look at your email later. But let's proceed with that. Thank you so much. That was very inspiring.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm so excited about, how this is all working. And now we go to the part that's the most exciting, which is the fact that all of this is dead simple. It's like falling off a log. The amount of equipment that you need is zero. The fact that you need to go someplace to do this, not. You can do it wherever you are. The expense of diagnosing your disease first and then fixing it, whether you do it with drug surgery, acupuncture, or self-healing methods, is eliminated. You can just prevent the darn disease in the first place. Remember, the grandma said, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And think how many ounces there are in a pound. It's 16. So when you invest an ounce of prevention in your life, and let's just say 2 hours, I don't know, let's round it to 20. Let's say that there's 20 ounces in a pound, and so 10 of them are in 1 hour and 10 of them's in another hour. So now think to yourself, okay, I need 1 ounce instead of 1 ounce instead of 20. So that's going to be like 15 minutes or 20 minutes as opposed to 2 hours. It's an amazing, amazing formula. So when we go to the three mindful alignments, which the Chinese call the three adjustments or the three regulations, also called the three intentful corrections, these are all ways of saying it. The most important part of this is what are we focusing on? What three things? First one is to focus on the body. And that's mostly in terms of the posture and the movement of the body. For right now, we're probably sitting fairly still. And by the way, if you wanted to do this standing, you'd be right consistent with the whole process. The Chinese do these practices standing all the time. That's what Tai Chi and Qigong do. So if you want to get out of your chair and do this standing, and notice that this can be described by phone, and it is a way to have a break. So, you know, you're coaching, you're doing the process. Say, let's break this up. Let's do some practice here. Let's get out of our chairs. And that gives you an opportunity as a coach to have a more well-being-oriented lifestyle, even at work, and it also gives your client or your clients, you know, if you're doing a group-based coaching, which is a lot of what we do here with Circle of Life, then you've got, like, clients standing in their offices, you know, all around the country, you know, as part of a group gross coaching process. Beautiful. I mean, you can just tell how amazing that is for the bottom line, to be able to get people doing these practices in their offices, in a group. Anyway, I'm sort of an advocate of all of that. So the first alignment is the body. So align yourself by sitting not against the back of the chair, but actually move yourself out to the front of the chair. Lengthen your spine. Relax your shoulders. Lift your head up. And notice the difference between where you were sitting a moment ago and where you're sitting now. It's a whole different world. And the extent to which your body has changed is very, very different. The amount of space that there is for your organs when you're sitting up straight like that, lengthening, is very different than when you're kind of under the influence of gravity with no conscious counter-gravitational influence in play. So that's the first intentful correction or the first mindful alignment. Second one, breath. So notice that as you sit up straight, lengthen yourself, lift your head, relax your shoulders, it's just, what else would you do next? It's the most logical next thing to do is to take a deep breath. You've prepared yourself, you're in the right position, the lungs are uncompressed by the influences of gravity, the rib cage is open, your head is lifting you up so that the space between the ribs is all as good as it's going to get for right now. So take that deep breath, big one. And then notice, whoa, that is a huge breath. And later you can notice, just any time along the line, just notice now very, very slowly through the nose, exhaling slowly. And you'll probably notice as you exhale, you're relaxing. This happens spontaneously. How hard was that? You know, how much did that cost, and how hard was it? This is the foundation of turning on a medicine within the human body. That is incredible. And if you take a really close look at what you're doing it while you're doing it, it didn't cost anything. And it wasn't hard to do. Now, you did have to change your position. You did have to decide to do this. These are all conscious activities of consciousness. And, of course, course, coaching is about becoming more conscious in our lives. So it's a perfect conspiracy. Now, once you've taken that deep breath, and notice to yourself now, have I taken another deep breath, or did I just go back to where I was? And also notice, have you leaned back in your chair again? All these are very important, just little factors to pay attention to. If you're still sitting up straight, and if you're still taking a fairly deep breath, I'd say congratulations. I mean, in that case, what's going on is that you're a enthusiastic advocate of these ideas, and we are very inclined to love the people in the world who are like that. So we love you. And if you happen to have sat back in your chair, we still love you. The difference is that we want to support you in getting how powerful these practices can be and seeing if we can spend some time with them rather than just hearing about them and then going, you know, back to where we were. Think of that. And coaching. How often do you bump into people who hear about how cool coaching is and then forget because of all of the things in their life that they're so habituated to? Third intentful correction or third mindful alignment is clear your mind. And there's a lot of ways to clear the mind by paying attention to certain things in the past or the future or in the present. Body parts, you could say, you know, now I'm paying attention to my knees, now I'm paying attention to my elbows, now I'm paying attention to my neck and shoulders, now I'm paying attention to my ears. Probably the most easy to remember and not that very, very difficult to implement is to pay attention to the present. So when you get to the third mindful alignment, just say to yourself, where am I? And what is happening around me now? There's my computer. I'm looking to the left of me. There's my little piano that I play less often than I would like to. What am I doing? Where are my shoulders? Where's my head? Am I lifting my head up? Are my fingers relaxed? In my body, where in my body is there tension? So what we're doing is that we're saying clear the mind of the clutter of its association with the past and the future and attend instead to the present. So you could also write right next to clear your mind, you could say focus on the present. And this is, of course, the basis of all the mindful practices, mindful meditation, and so forth. Now, we use this body of information, the three mindful alignments, which is a subset of the very much larger world of Qigong and Tai Chi and yoga, as a stress mastery methodology or seminar for any agency or organization. We call that Mind-Body-Max. Mind-Body-Max means to maximize the function of the interaction of the mind and the body using the three intentful corrections. And you can apply the intentful corrections or the mindful alignments anytime, anywhere. You know that whole idea, don't operate heavy machinery while you are doing these practices? Well, this does not apply. Think of it. When you're operating heavy machinery, don't you want to be alert and in a posture that's good for your health? If you're lifting something heavy using heavy machinery, or if you're driving your car, or if you're sitting at your computer, is there any reason in the world why you wouldn't take a deep breath? None. Zero. And then in terms of the mind function, we're paying attention to the present. If you're driving, isn't that what you want to do? When you're composing an email, isn't that what you want to do? When you're developing a strategy for how to improve your life, isn't that what you want to do? So the whole concept of using the three mindful alignments or mind body max anytime throughout your day is completely logical. Last little note on this is that one of my favorite teachers in China was asked by a group of people who were visiting China on one of the trips that I went there once. And the question was, how often during the Qigong or Tai Chi practice should we review or bring our attention to the three mindful alignments? And the answer was 100 times a minute. Now, at that point, the little old Chinese guy chuckled, and it became obvious that it was kind of a joke. But on the other hand, it was very apparent that the message was, it's happening all the time. For those people who are the most functional, for those people who are making medicine within their own body the most efficiently, for those people who are wasting less time, for those people who are healing themselves constantly on a regular basis because they're allowed to, they're going to be paying attention to the three mindful alignments on a fairly regular basis. So that's practice one, and you can do that anywhere, anytime. Now, here comes practice two, and we
excuse me. Because of our time, we just have time for the paced breathing, and I will lead them in the body-mind tune-up in our next session.
I think that's
perfect. So we want to do the breathing and then open it up to any questions or comments.
Let's do. And that's perfect. And as Rebecca said earlier, there will be a PDF on the paced breathing that you can utilize going forward. So with all of these beautiful ancient practices that make so much sense and trigger so many positive benefits within the human system, there is a recent development here in the Western world which draws upon these concepts in a more contemporary way. And how that goes is that it was discovered that if you reduce the pace of your breathing to 6 per minute, that it triggers the release of certain neurotransmitters in the body, which we've already talked a little bit about. These would be choline-based neurotransmitters, which lower blood pressure. And remember, lowering blood pressure is pretty easy to do. If you take the same amount of blood and put in a larger container, the pressure in the container is going to be less. So our job to lower blood pressure is just one thing. Make the container larger. Make the blood system or the vascular system larger. And the little bit of research that's been done on this paced breathing so far has demonstrated that it does that. And it does it by releasing a neurotransmitter, which you'll recall I don't it's such a new breakthrough finding that it's hard to find even the name of this neurotransmitter. But it is produced in a part of the lungs which is called the stretch receptor. So if you're inclined to look this up, you can look up stretch receptor, you can look up paced breathing, and there's a little more information on that out there. Now, the concept is typically that a person who's not paying too much attention to their breath will breathe anywhere from 10 to over 20 breaths a minute. And, you know, that's a lot. Even 10, the slow end of that, is a lot of little breaths. Why? Because we need the oxygen, and most people are in a state of breath practice that's based on surviving. And, you know, when dogs panic, you see how fast they breathe. When people are sitting at their keyboard answering, you know, more emails than they have the time for, you're going to get that accelerated shallow breathing. And notice yourself. You may want to notice now, however, it's very possible that you've already adjusted your breath because we're on that subject right now. But use your telephone or on your computer. If you go on your computer and just put in timer, there's a whole bunch. In fact, if you want to do it right now, just go put in the word timer and launch a timer at some website somewhere. Or if you want to just really pay attention while we're doing this and then pull the timer up later, either way is fine. If you slow the breath down to less than to six or less, it hits a certain threshold, which has been research has determined is a reasonable threshold. If you go below, let's say, four breaths a minute, it actually causes greater stress again. So you're above six breaths a minute, you're expressing to a certain extent the presence of stress in the system, and below four breaths, it'll express stress as well. So what we want to do is get into that zone between four and six. Five is a good one. I've been using what I call five times five. Five times five means five breaths in 5 minutes, over 5 minutes. Five breaths a minute over 5 minutes. So that's going to be a total of 25 breaths. Now, most people have 5 minutes. And so you may even have 5 minutes. If you're going to coach people to be more well, there's only one way to have that be authentic, and that's to be well yourself as much as possible. And so try this breathing practice. Now, we're just going to do it for a couple of minutes, and we could talk more about it, and maybe if when we get to the questions, if you want to ask a question about this, you know, to just fill in any data that I might have left out that would help you to feel more comfortable about using it, please do. But for right now, let's just go to the idea of breathing slowly. Now, if you're not looking at a timer right now, I'm going to get a timer up on my iPhone here, which will only just take a moment. And so when I say go here in just a few moments, continue to slow your breath down so that for about a minute you breathe fairly deeply and fairly slowly. Now, this, by the way, is not a contest to see how long you can hold your breath. You know, my kids and I do this all the time. You jump in the pool, stay underwater, and see how far you can go without breathing. That's not what we're doing. It's interesting. It's fun. What we want to do here is we just want to be relaxed. That's all of it. So the goal isn't to set the bar at, I'm going to go beyond comfort. Just stay with a regular, deep, ish breath that and then we'll count them and see how you're doing. We're going to do this for 3 minutes, and I'll tell you when we get to 1 minute, and I'll tell you when we get to 2 minutes, and I'll tell you when we get to 3 minutes. And I want you to notice what you're experiencing. Now, this is the most profound tool for helping people to don't you remember count to 10 before you get it angry? Don't you remember count to 10 before you take anything out of the refrigerator? Count to 10, see if you can put yourself back to sleep. These are things that our grandmothers said. Why? Well, because they're real. They have absolute validity. So let's just jump into it here. And in a moment, you know, I'll hit the go button. So for right now, prepare to take these deeper breaths, and let's start now. And exhaling very slowly through your nose, very, very slowly through your nose. So when you breathe in deeply. And when you breathe out slowly through your nose. And allow yourself to become aware of the sensations in your body as you're doing that. And now we're into the second half of a minute. And your breath is deep and slow and relaxed. And you're counting them if you can. And right here we come, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that was 1 minute. Now keep going with deeper breathing. Deep and slow and relaxed. And think to yourself, you know, there's nothing else to do now. And the only thing that I want to do is make medicine. If I'm having trouble sleeping, I want to make medicine for rest. If I'm having pain, I want to make medicine to reduce pain. If you're having trouble with cigarettes or the urge to consume foods, I want to make a medicine to soothe my nervous system. There's about 15 seconds left in this second minute. Notice how long a minute is, by the way. Isn't that amazing? And 3, 2, 1. There's the end of second minute. Let's do one more time, one more minute. The breath is deep and slow, not urgent, deep and slow. And as you exhale, notice, it's just spontaneous. As you're relaxing, as you're breathing out slowly through your nose, you are relaxing. The body is making medicine now. The neurotransmitters associated with the natural capacity for the human system to make medicine and heal itself for free is happening now. We've got about 15 seconds to go, and that would be the amount of time for maybe 1.5 of these breaths. And 4, 3, 2, 1. So, that's the end of it. Now, just rest, stay restful. Notice that this is a kind of trance-like state. Notice that if you pay attention very, very carefully within your own being, that you feel something. Something unique, something like a humming feeling, a buzzing feeling. You may feel like a flowing feeling, because there's a lot flowing in the human body. The human body is 70% water, blood, lymph, cerebrospinal fluid. The cells are basically taking in nourishment and releasing fluids into the interstitial spaces. But all this is happening in an unrestrained way right now. Now, when you're in a state like this, it's the parasympathetic state, but it's also like the trance state or the hypnosis state. And what do we do when we're in hypnosis? Do we want to give messages and make suggestions? So give yourself suggestions now. You know, I'm healthier every day. Or think of your client that's been driving you crazy lately, and what kind of a suggestion do they need that they can say to themselves to be giving messaging to the consciousness at the same time as they're making medicine in the body for no cost. So, you know, for many people, I've done this a lot of times, for many people, they'll actually say, you know, I think I meditated a little more today than I usually have in my whole life. And then I say, yeah, it's because of this gorgeous, amazing, totally inspiring, simple thing about breathing 4, 5, or 6 times a minute, relaxing intentfully, using the 3 intentful corrections or the 3 mindful alignments to put the body into its most efficient position and state for self-healing. And then give yourself messages about relaxing, understanding the nature of things, believing in the fact that the body can heal itself, talking about how that happens, and then having that person create power statements or affirmations in their coaching process. And all of that's conspiring to create not only a special physiological state, but also a state of feeling, like an empowered sense of feeling where the person is tapping in to their natural power. So to wrap up now, just think to yourself, okay, that was great. I want to do that again. Of course, I want to teach that to my clients. Take a couple of deep breaths now to bring yourself out of the relaxed state. So we use the deep breaths to take us in. Now, why not continue to use the same self-healing mechanism to become more alert? Wiggle your fingers and toes. Thank yourself for having taken the time to learn some new things. And maybe even just take like 10 seconds and state to yourself a few things that you have gratitude for in your life. And then I'm going to just step back and let Rebecca step in.
Thank you, Roger. That breath is very powerful. I use it a lot for myself when I can't go to sleep or if I wake up in the middle of the night, and it invariably puts me back to sleep very quickly. So it's great when you're stressed, but it's also an energizer. So once you, it's a very powerful process.